Gracious and loving Father, we thank you that you have given us life on this day, and we welcome you, Lord Christ. Bring us your joy and give us the freedom to listen and to hear. Take what is not of your word and help us, Lord, to discern and to understand your life word to us this day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Be seated, won't you? Well, we are turning towards the end of the Christian year, the liturgical year. In fact, the last three Sundays of the liturgical year are given to three different parables of Jesus. Last week you heard the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Today is the parable of the talents. And next Sunday, the final Sunday of the Christian year, also known as Christ the King Sunday, you will hear the story, well, actually, I'll be preaching on it, the story of the sheep and the goats, the parable of the sheep and the goats. So these three parables have been called the parables of the future because they are all specifically speaking to the return of Christ, the second advent of Christ. And that's what we celebrate during the season of Advent. But I wonder how poignant it might feel to you, how dominant is this idea in your awareness or consciousness that there is a time, there is going to be a day, there is going to be a conclusion to world history. We see the cycles and cycles and cycles of world history, and they all seem to be the same or even getting worse. And yet, what God has revealed to us in God's creation is that God's time is moving towards a linear end. Jesus named himself both the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so we have to have the end in our awareness. And that's what these parables certainly do. They bring to us the idea that there will be an end. There will be a day, the day of the Lord's return. The future pulls us. It shapes us, even in our present moment. If you think about your future, the issue really is the fact that you are your future. What you get out of your life and what I get out of my life is the person that I become. That's what God gets out of our lives, is the person that we become. And that's very evident in this story, the parable of the talents. First of all, recognize again, Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And the last time I was here, I mentioned to you that Jesus preached his gospel as a gospel of the availability of the reign and reality of God here and now, if we place our trust in him. It's not far off, it's not far away. It's already available to you and to me. And what is there? What is there about the kingdom of God? Well, it's the friendship of God. It's the presence of God. It's the grace of God. It's the strength of God. It's the peace of God. It is the direct interaction of God within your life today. That's the reign of God. And it's available to us. And the first thing I want you to notice in this parable is the generosity of God. The generosity of God. God is giving us a life and a future. And we need to acknowledge his goodness and generosity to us. He uses the language of a master and slave, but this is really a story more about God and us. Because God has given to you everything that you need to become the person that he is longing for you to be. He gave you life. He created you. He painted you into the canvas of reality and said, go. Go and bear fruit. He created you to become someone. He created you for a significant life. And isn't that what we long for? A life of significance. We want a life of significance. And that significance is ours personally, but it is also God's significance and how he sees us. And so God, in his generosity, gives them gifts. He gives them talents. He gives them life. And what he's really indeed doing is saying, go and be creative. Go and Bear fruit, go and flourish, go and steward the gifting, exercise initiative, take action, use your agency, steward your life well with the gifts that I have given you, and you will live a life of significance. Be bold and be courageous with your life. And that's why the striking drama, really, of the parable is the third person, the third servant, who received just the one talent. That's where the energy and the power of this parable is found, because he was wrong about the nature of his master. What did he say? I heard you were a harsh man, and I was afraid. So what is our dominant image of God today? How do you see God in your life today? Is he truly loving and compassionate and gracious, long-suffering and kind? Of course he is. But sometimes we can have within us images that are truly debilitating to our sense of trust. We think God is not loving, or God could not love me. And yet, Jesus is the face of God. And so every time we read and see Jesus in the Gospels, we need to remember that God is Christ-like, and in God there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. Or to put it the way John did in 1 John, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In other words, there is nothing bad about God. And yet so often we become timid, afraid, withholding, withdrawing, believing that we don't have what it takes, we don't have the ability to live a significant life, and so we hide it. We hide what God has given us. We don't show up in our own lives because we are afraid, and we hide our talent, we hide our life in the ground. And the problem, really, is the third servant in the story is that he didn't want to really take this relationship seriously. Because you see, in the end, what God was giving to us all along was relationship. Don't think of talents as abilities. Think of God's gifting to you as his transforming friendship. Lately in my own journey of life and pilgrimage and faith, which has been a long, long journey so far, is that I've come to see God as my friend. Friendship with God is my spiritual journey. God is my friend. And to have that kind of friendship is one of the greatest joys of life. That's what a significant life is all about. And that's what God gave to each of them, his friendship, his relationship, the incredible generosity of God. That's the thrust of the gospel. It's a challenge for us to really think about what it is the master is giving the servants in the story. What did he really give them? And what is he really giving you to live a significant life? It's your friendship with him. Your friendship with him. Because out of that friendship flows the joy and power and confidence to engage, to use your agency, to be who you are, and to give what you can in building other relationships and bringing forth the kingdom of God where you are in your life. Incredible generosity of God. Let me illustrate this with you. In 2016, I was still rector at All Saints in Winter Park, and I got a call from the diocesan office and was told that an Irish bishop was visiting the diocese. He was on sabbatical. He wanted to see some churches, and would I be willing to host him for a while, for a few days over the weekend? I said, sure. I've always wanted to meet an Irish bishop. So his name was Ken Good, and he was the bishop in Derry, the Diocese of Derry and Raphoe in Northern Ireland. And he came. I remember absolutely vividly. He came in one day to the office, and immediately there was a warmth and a joy and a welcome that he gave that just touched me. I was so impressed. He wasn't wearing a collar. He wasn't stuffy, nothing. Went to lunch with him. And Bishop Good, again, offered his friendship to me in such a way that there was no question that I knew the friendship of God through him. In fact, we became very good friends, and he invited me to the diocese to lead the clergy retreat for that diocese. It was an incredible, generous gift of him. And my point in all of this is, you have met people in your own life who have revealed the friendship of God to you. Trust that. You can take your talent, whether it's 1, 5, or 10, and you can learn how to give relationship to others. The generosity of God is inexhaustible. Point number 2. The story also talks about accountability, right? So there is a return from the master to settle accounts. We need to really understand that when God gives us his saving, loving grace, that doesn't mean that, okay, everything's great, I don't have to worry about a thing. No, that's not quite right. Grace demands response. And there is an accountability, a responsibility with the gifts that God has given us. He comes back and he says, what did you do with what I have given you? How have you used your life? How have you shared what I created within you? How have you lived your life? What has your life been all about? And I think this is so important for us to remember that there is a day in which our lives will be accountable to God. There is a day of judgment. There is a day in which God will put all things right. We demand justice in our world. We long for justice in our world. There can't be just this wiping the slate clean and it doesn't matter. There's a day of judgment. There's a day of justice. And so the accountability is important for us to hold on to, because the relationship demands accountability. You can't play it safe, in other words. Life is not a safe game. You can't say there's no risk. I'll just place it in the ground. Well, there is a great risk. And that risk is that you could miss out. That great risk is that you could realize that your life was not significant at all. That it meant nothing. That you wasted your life. And that's a great, great concern that we always have to hold within our hearts. If God could be so generous to me, then I must respond to that generosity. He loved us first, right? So that we could love. He created you and designed your unique self. You are unrepeatable. That's how precious you are. That's how important you are, how valuable you are to God. And he's given you this opportunity in life, and he doesn't want you to squander it. He wants you to engage it with courage and assertion. Finally, a life of significance really boils down to faithfulness. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. Be faithful. Be faithful with what has been given to you. And then you will hear at the end of the journey these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the words of blessing, the words that we need, the word of blessing in our lives. Whether that blessing comes through our loved ones, to have been blessed by your parents in some way, a mother, a daughter, a father, and a son, a father who can pass on his blessing to you and say, I'm blessed by you. A mother who can say, I'm blessed by you. A husband, a wife, a spouse who can say, I am blessed by you. But then can you imagine the friendship of God saying to you, well done. I delight in you. Welcome into my joy. Let me illustrate this by how I see this in an image that I have. My dad was an Episcopal priest. I have a twin brother who's an Episcopal priest. Our last name is Lord, so, you know, it's kind of the family business, so to speak. But my dad was retiring. He had served in several parts of the country, but he had been rector of Trinity Church in Vero Beach for about 12 years, and then he became the interim dean at the Cathedral of St. Luke. And he was retiring, and he was retiring from St. Luke's Cathedral, and it was on his last Sunday. And his favorite hymn is a hymn called Come Labor On, Who Dare Stand Idle? And we were all at the back of the church. He had finished the service, and we were standing singing the final stanza of that hymn. And these are the words. Come labor on. Who dares stand idle? No time for rest to gloze the western sky, till the long shadows of our pathway lie, and a glad sound comes with the setting of the sun. Servants, well done. And that meant so much to me. My brothers and sisters, my heart just wanted to say these words to you today, that you would realize the immense generosity that God has given to you by giving you life, the investment that he has placed in you by creating you unrepeatable, a unique individual, that God loved you so much that the judgment and the accounting for your life has already been found in the sacrifice of his love in his son Jesus on the cross. There is no reason for you not to trust and believe and hold fast to your agency, that you can indeed bring the love and life of Christ to others. Trust that within you. Live it freely, live it wildly for the kingdom of God.